to another episode of NFL Talk TJ. My name's TJ, and today we are going to be going over my recap of the week one of the NFL season. Now, unfortunately, I wasn't able to release my predictions for week one, which I apologize about, but I did write down my predictions, and I'm going to be completely honest with all the predictions I made. I'll give the scores that I projected, but then we'll go over the actual scores of the game and go over my thoughts on each game. So it's only going to be about a minute or two on each game. Nothing too crazy, nothing super in depth, but just kind of give an overall recap of each game. Plus, I want to go over an idea I've got for future episodes. So let's just jump right into it. Starting off with Thursday Night Football, very first game of the season, Cowboys at Buccaneers. My prediction was the Buccaneers to win 34-20. The Bucs did end up winning, but it was a way closer game than I thought, being 31-29. Both teams, I think, played exceptionally well and overall looked better than I had expected. I mean, Cowboys, we saw Dak play, and he's still just as good as he was before he got injured. We saw Amari Cooper play extremely well, putting up, I believe, 13 catches, 139 yards, and 2 touchdowns. He's obviously Dak's favorite target. CeeDee Lamb looked good. Michael Gallup looked good, although Michael Gallup's now on IR, which I believe is a leg injury. Nothing too crazy, nothing super extensive. I believe it's just like a 3 to 4 week thing. And Lael Collins also is suspended 5 games for some sort of substance abuse that is unknown to me, at least. But big thing about the two things about the Cowboys are, one, Zeke wasn't used nearly as much as I expected to be, considering Dak threw 58 passes. But Zeke's pass blocking looked really good, for being honest. And then Tony Pollard outplayed him, I'd say. And then this defense looked better than I'd expected. They used a lot of packages when it comes to linebackers. You saw a lot of Micah Parsons and Keanu Neal match paired up together. And then Jalen Johnson and Van Der Esch paired up together as well. So even though we're seeing on like the depth charts, for example, like Jalen Smith being the backup, it's more so just a rotation of two, you know, based off of situations and stuff. Something I also found interesting was that Michael Parsons has the green dot on the back of his helmet, which means that he is basically the signal caller and is the one making the calling out the plays, which I find very interesting that he was given that role this early on. And I think that really shows how impressive he's been throughout, you know, training camps and the preseason, because he did look really good during the preseason. And overall just looked as all. Has overall been pretty good for this Cowboys defense. And this defense did look a lot better than I had expected. But the Buccaneers, still as good as they are, you know, they barely won this game. They went on a game-winning field goal. And this defense, this offense gave up a few bad turnovers. I know Chris Godwin had a fumble. Leonard Fournette had a tipped pass, which I believe became an interception. Ronald Jones had a fumble as well. Mike Evans looked terrible, you know, had multiple drops, only like 2 or 3 catches. I really think, and this was, I'm completely blanking on where I saw this, but there was an Instagram account I saw that said, and I'm so sorry I can't remember who said this, but basically this Bucs offense is really set up to where one of these receivers can have a great game on any given day. Like, there's no, like, Godwin's going to have a great game this day, and then Mike Evans will have a great game next week, and then Antonio Brown. It's really just, he might have a good game. So, like, for, like, you fantasy players out there, including myself, I am staying away from all Bucs receivers just because we don't know when they're going to be good or bad. All three of them get a lot of targets. So, and then just a little extra here, this defense played really good as well, although Sean Murphy Bunting is now on IR, so Ross Cockrell will be playing there more. I also forgot I had DeMarcus Lawrence today, broke his foot, missing 6 to 8 weeks, and he was like the best defensive player on this team, so that's going to be an issue. But that I am 1-0 right as of right now. as the games have gone over, Bucks winning 31-29. Now, that game, I wanted to go over a bit longer just because it is the first game of the year. But the rest of these will go by a little faster. So, let's go into the Seahawks-Colts game. I had, let's see here. I had projected the Seahawks to win 24-21. So, again, Seahawks did win, but they won 28-16. So, it was a farther margin than I had expected. Now, looking at some of these guys, I mean, I think the big thing is that the Seattle offensive line wasn't that bad. I mean, obviously not good, but not bad. And then another big, you know, player to watch out for, I guess, on this defense is Rasheem Green, who was starting over LJ Collier, and Collier was inactive. Rasheem Green, breakout game, has looked pretty good. Darrell Taylor, who is, I believe, a second-year player out of Florida, is now starting at outside linebacker with Ben Burkervin being on IR. Russ, looking at first half of the season, Russ, you know, really good. DK Metcalf had, I believe, like 4 or 5 catches for around 60 to 70 yards, while Tyler Lockett had 4 catches, 100 yards, 2 touchdowns. So he was electric, to say the least. And then looking at the Colts side of the ball, Zach Pascal looks to be the receiver one for this team, which came as a shock to me. I really thought it would be Pittman, but Pascal has looked the best. Marlon Mack being the running back three on this team. Naheem Hines got the 3-year, $18.6 million extension. Oh, you're there. Finally loaded. Zach Pascal stats, 4 catches, 43 yards, 2 touchdowns. So he's definitely number one receiver. But back to the running backs. Naheem Hines got that, again, the 3-year extension worth $6.2 million a year, and is the running back, too. He's a great receiving threat, had a breakout year last year, and he's looking really good this year. As of right now, had 9 rushes for 34 yards, along with 6 catches for 48 yards. So he's making plays on both the running and receiving game. And then Jonathan Taylor wasn't terrible, but I think he could have been better, especially going up against a poor Seattle defensive front. But overall, this game, I think this was one of the better games, one of the ones that wasn't covered nearly as much as I think it could have been. But another big part of this was that Xavier Rhodes wasn't playing. It was Rocky Sin, Kenny Moore, and TJ Carey were the starting three. So that played a big part in it. But overall, this was a solid game, Seahawks winning 28-16. Next game we're going to look at is the Jacksonville Jaguars at the Houston Texans. Now, this is the first game in my predictions that I got wrong. I had the Jaguars winning this one. I mean, Houston was projected to be the worst team, and I myself agreed with that. So, I had projected the Jaguars to win 27-10. Houston won 37-21. That is, you know, it was crazy to me. And I really think the big reason that the Jaguars did so bad was because of Urban Meyer. Not a fan. I mean, James Robinson got 5 carries this game. 5. That's terribly low. Ugh. I mean, Trevor Lawrence did not look good in his debut. His first ever regular season loss. And that goes all the way back to his first year of high school. So, I mean, I believe he threw 3 interceptions. He threw 3 interceptions because I remember seeing a stat that last year the Texans had 3 interceptions throughout the entire season. And now only have 3 in just the first game alone. This defense, actually, I don't know if it was just because of how bad the offense was, but this defense looks a lot better than I had expected it to. You know, with them switching from the 3-4 to the 4-3, I really think improved this team. With Whitney Mercilus and Jordan Jenkins on the edge, Malik Collins, DeMarcus Walker in the interior, Zach Cunningham and Christian Kirksey, linebackers, Vernon Hargraves, Terrace Mitchell were the outside corners, with, I believe, Desmond King in the slot. So this defense definitely played better than I had expected him to. But nothing, I don't think there's really anything special from this group outside of Tyrod Taylor playing a great game. Mark Ingram had a solid game and is now the number one running back. Philip Lindsay had a touchdown. Amendola had a touchdown. Brandon Cooks played really well. Offensive line didn't look bad. I mean, this was just an overall really solid team. Like, this team was solid. Like, a genuinely good team. From all the Instagram posts I've seen, you know, showing, like, standings in the AFC and the NFC, stuff like that, they literally have Houston at number one. Houston is, I guess you could say, considered the best team in the AFC right now. If you're going off of, like, stats and, you know, like, I believe it was based off of, like, record and then points they put up or some along those lines. And I could be wrong on that completely. But I think even if that's the case, I believe Houston is the team that put up the most points in the AFC. But that's just because Jacksonville was that good. Oh. Excuse me. Again, Lawrence throwing three interceptions is obviously not a good thing. Marvin Jones had a really good game, though. James Robinson, definitely not used enough. And then this defense, I mean, it just was really bad. And I really think that has to do with coaching. Not a fan of Urban Meyer right now. And I can really see him leaving soon. And I mean, like, being fired or leaving on his own. Because that is an Urban Meyer thing to do, is just to leave on his own. But overall, this was a very shocking game. This is my first loss prediction. But, you know, I'm very interested to see how Houston does moving forward. I'm now higher on them than I was before, and I think a lot of people are, just showing how well they were. The team's chemistry is, I think, is a big part of it. But Houston wins 37-21. Next game, we got the Philadelphia Eagles at the Atlanta Falcons. Again, another game where a team that I thought was really bad turns out to be a lot better than I thought. And another team that I thought was really bad was even worse than I thought. So, I mean, I projected the Falcons to win 17-13. The Eagles ended up winning 32-6. Hurts, incredible game. Really didn't depend on his legs that much, which is a major step up in his game. Everyone, including myself, thought that he was going to rely on his legs too much in order to make plays, when in reality, he was really looking a lot like Russell Wilson, you know, scrambling to the outside and throwing. His throw in the red zone to Dallas Goedert was an incredible pass, you know. Sits in the pocket for a second, lets the route develop. He bootlegs out to the, I mean, that play wasn't a bootleg, but I should say he rolls out. He rolls out to the right. And throws a kind of little sidearm pass right into the very tight window of, I believe it was Deion Jones on Dallas Goedert. And he made that throw. It was incredible. He had three touchdowns, no interceptions, 264 yards, and a 77.1% completion percentage. So that's really the big thing for me. And on top of that, Devontae Smith is the clear-cut number one receiver. You know, he had a touchdown this game, and the chemistry between those two is really good. Jordan Mailata got a 4-year extension, I believe worth $68 million. And that's to play left tackle, and I think that shows that Andre Dillard's leaving very soon because they've got all these other guys that can play. So any team that needs an offensive tackle, Andre Dillard is going to be on the board. I think a team like maybe like the Steelers could use him. Mean. I'm trying to think of teams that don't have good offensive tackles. Possibly I could see the Chiefs going after him maybe for if they can get him cheap enough to play right tackle, where I believe Lucas Niang is playing right now. So that is always a possibility. But I also want to mention that this defense played really well. This whole defense was solid. There's not really a specific spot I want to point out. But like the defensive line, I should say specifically, you know, Fletcher Cox looked really good. Per usual. I mean, let's see here. I'm going to try to pull up his stats for a quick second. But just waiting for these to load. He didn't play, did he? He might have not played. Actually, I thought he did. I wonder who that was having a good game then. Because there was a defensive interior lineman who I thought had a pretty good game. And I, for some reason, was thinking Fletcher Cox, but whatever. Overall, this defensive line played really well in general. There we go. It was Javon Hargrave. He had 2 sacks. My bad. I had those two mixed up. So, yeah. Javon Hargrave had a great week one game here. With 5 tackles, 2 sacks. Played great. This whole defensive line is good. But moving on to the Falcons. They sucked. I mean, I'm not even going to touch on it much. This defense isn't good. We've known that for a while now. Cornerbacks, other than A.J. Terrell and maybe Fabian Moreau, not good. I think Richie Grant needs to be starting soon at safety over Daron Harmon. I mean, they're running a 3-4 defense now. So Grady Jarrett, Tyler Davidson, and Jonathan Bullard are their starters with Steven Means and Dante Fowler on the edge. Deion Jones, Foyisata Luakon are their linebackers. Those two are really good. Great middle linebackers. Offensive line was poor. Jalen Mayfield impressed me a little bit just because I didn't think he was going to be good in general, and he played a little better than I thought. Running backs, not terrible. Matt Ryan, not terrible. Calvin Ridley, not bad. Kyle Pitts, good for his debut. But overall, it's just not a good team, and they only scored 6 points against the Eagles, so they're definitely one of the worst teams in the league right now, I'd say. So Eagles win 32-6. Next game, we got the Los Angeles Chargers at the Washington football team. I had the football team winning this one 28-20. Chargers won 20-16. I mean, I'm realizing how long I'm taking to go through each game, so I'm going to go really quick through these last few in the first half of the games. You know, overall, Chargers look pretty good everywhere throughout, all over. The entire team looked good, and there was nothing really bad. The one thing I do want to point out is Rashawn Slater continues to dominate Chase Young. He did it in 2019, and he did it this week. I mean, if I'm being completely honest, Chase Young did not look that good. And I don't think it's because he's bad or he played bad. I think it's just Rashawn Slater having an incredible rookie debut. He might have another, or he might be this year's Tristan Wirfs. That's just an offensive tackle, have an incredible season. This whole, you know, defense, though. The defense in general for Washington looked really good. I was really pleased with them. Jamin Davis didn't do as much as I thought he was going to. Only 2 solo tackles. But, I mean, only his first game, so I'm not, like, concerned or anything. I still think he can win Defensive Rookie of the Year. But, I mean, with the Ryan Fitzpatrick injury, he's down, I believe, 4 to 6 weeks with a hip injury. So Tyler Heinicke will be starting, and people are saying that he's going to be amazing. I don't think he's going to be amazing. I think he'll be okay. But overall, I genuinely think that Washington is a good squad, and I just think the Chargers just overall outplayed them. Next game, we got the Pittsburgh Steelers at the Buffalo Bills. Now, going into this, I'm going to say I am a Steelers fan, and I've said that many times, but I did predict the Bills to win 27-24. I was wrong. Steelers won 23-16. First half, the game ended with the Bills up 10-0. The Steelers then went on to score 20 straight points in the second half. Or 20 unanswered points, I should say. They played great defensive-wise throughout the entire game. Minka played really good. Terrell Edmonds looked really good. Schobert was a coverage beast. Melvin Ingram, TJ Watt, and Alex Highsmith, the three of them combined, all looked amazing. Genuinely, I mean, I believe TJ Watt had 2 sacks and a forced fumble and, like, a few pressures. Like, he's just a beast. And this is without Stephon Tuitt, may I add, and Aliko Witherspoon, who could not play just because he was traded so soon. So, really looked good. Boswell looked good. Overall, the entire Steelers team looked good, except for the offense in the first half, and I think that's just due to the chemistry being built, I mean, and the new offense kind of being developed. But then looking onto the Bills offense, or I should just say the Bills in general, Emmanuel Sanders looked really good. Stephon Diggs was stopped pretty, you know, basically stopped throughout the entire game. I mean, Zach Moss not playing really helped or really hurt. I was going to say helped the Steelers, but I should rather say hurt the Bills. Although Singletary looked pretty good. The Bills' offensive tackles, Deion Dawkins and Darrell Williams, or Darrell Williams, really hurt them. Considering these guys just, I mean, had so many flags, penalties throughout the game. Greg Rousseau is now a starter. I don't know if he was starting in that game. I cannot remember. But he is now listed as a starter, which I find interesting. And Mario Addison is now on the bench. And then Jerry Hughes is still a starter. But overall, this defense looked pretty good. Held the Steelers for quite a while. At least in the first half. I mean, they went scoreless in the first half. And didn't even cross the 50-yard line. But then in the second half, the Steelers came out strong and had a great drive. Great couple drives that led to field goals. Ultimately, a touchdown and then a blocked punt. And Steelers just kept racking up the score and just played a better football game in the second half than the Bills. And they ultimately won 23-16. Next, going on to the 49ers versus Lions. I had the 49ers winning this one 31-9, and I was right on that, but it was a way closer game, 41-33, 49ers. I mean, the Lions really showed that they are a better team than everyone expected them to be. Although they did look like crap for most of the game, they ended up coming back and keeping the game really close, making the game interesting until the last few seconds. Penei Sewell looked solid, and that's just due to the fact that he got moved back to left tackle due to Taylor Decker being on IR. Hockenson looked really good. Quintez Cephas looked good. I think the DeAndre Swift, Jamal Williams duo at running back is going to be one of the best in the league because both of them looked really good. Goff looked really good. This defense did not look that good. Although Trey Flowers looked solid. The secondary just needs improvement. It really does. With Jeff Okuda now being out for the year with a ruptured Achilles. Amani Oruwariye and Ifeide Melifonwu are the two starters. And that's an issue. So the secondary's got to improve. 49ers. Defense gave up a ton in that second half and made that game way closer than it needed to be. Diamador Lenore and Kawan Williams both looked amazing this game. I believe combined those two, they gave up like 3 yards or something in total, which is insane. Fred Warner looked good. Nick Bosa looked good. Eric Armstead let way too many runs break out to the outside, which gained a bunch of yards. So he can improve in that area. Mike McClinchy looked good. And this entire offensive line looked good. Brandon Ayuk didn't get targeted once. So there's something going on with him. And then with let's see here. With Raheem Mostert being out for the year, Elijah Mitchell is now the starting running back behind Jermichael Hasty at second and Trey Sermon at third. So the fact that Trey Sermon is the third running back, even with Mostert out, is a little concerning. I was really expecting him to be the number one. But Elijah Mitchell, who was like a 7th-round rookie, showed up and played really well and now is going to be the starting running back. So very impressed by that. But with a really close nail-biting game for Lions fans, I think this is a win for both teams. I mean, 49ers just winning in general. Lions, I mean, showing that they can compete. I genuinely think they can compete now. So this is definitely a really good game. 49ers won 41-33. Next, first game that went into overtime. Got the Minnesota Vikings at the Cincinnati Bengals. Bengals won this one 27-24, again, in overtime with a game-winning field goal. Vikings did not look as good as I was expecting them to. I've been extremely high on the Vikings, but just did not look good.
Excuse me.
Although, this offense looked pretty good, I would say. No, Thielen looked great. Justin Jefferson didn't get targeted as much as I had expected. Offensive line has got issues that need to be fixed, such as right guard with Udo. I'm not saying his first name. I don't know how to. And then Rashad Hill. But once Christian Darrisaw comes back, they should be good to go. And this defense just needs to get better, if I'm being completely honest. They just, it just needs to get better. I mean, it just didn't play well. This defensive line is really good. And the fact that they didn't put nearly as much pressure on this Bengals offensive line than I had expected is going to be an issue. But speaking of the Bengals, Bengals looked great. Jamar Chase, over 100 yards and a touchdown. T. Higgins and Tyler Boyd both also look solid. Joe Mixon put up a really good game. Joe Burrow looked great for his first game back from injuries. Just brought it up earlier, but the offensive line looked solid too. And then the secondary, safeties looked great. And Von Bell, Jesse Bates. Linebackers and corners, not as good. Chidobe Awuzie and Mike Hilton were okay. But and then the defensive line also looked okay with Larry Ogunjobi, I think, having a pretty good game as well. But ultimately, overtime win for the Bengals, starting off the season 1-0, winning 27-24. We are now through the first half of the games, but before we get into the second half, I want to take a quick moment to talk about the sponsor of this episode, Anchor. Anchor is a free website and app that you can use to record and upload podcasts. There is a creation tool that allows you to create and edit your podcast right from your own phone or computer. Anchor distributes your podcast to all sorts of different platforms like Spotify, Apple Podcast, and many more. You can even make money from your podcast with no minimum listenership, meaning that no matter how many listeners you have on your podcast, you can still make money. It's everything you need to make a podcast in one place. Download the free Anchor app or go to anchor.fm to get started today. And we're back from that ad break, jumping right back into it with the next game. We got the New York Jets at the Carolina Panthers. This game wasn't that exciting, but it did show quite a bit, at least for the Jets more specifically. I want to talk about the Panthers first. I mean, Sam Darnold had a great debut. I'm going to be completely honest. Connection with Robbie Anderson against the Jets, I think, was just so fun to watch. DJ Moore, Terrace Marshall, both also very solid. This defense could have been better. Not saying it's bad by any means. JC Horn didn't look bad. You know, had a few tackles, but and coverage looked solid. Nothing crazy good, but nothing bad either. Jeremy Chinn, I mean, he had 4 tackles and a pass defended. I don't know how I like to move, moving him to safety. I don't know if I like that too much, even though he's playing more of a box safety, but still. Moving on to the Jets more specifically, Zach Wilson, really bad first half, really good second half. I was very impressed with that. Big issue, though, with Mekhi Becton going on IR. Although, I mean, it sucks because he's really good. But George Fant is moving from right tackle to left tackle, and Morgan Moses will now be starting at right tackle. So I think they're not – I don't think they're in a bad position by any means. Again, Zach Wilson, his connection with Corey Davis is going to be amazing. He went 20 for 37, which is a 54.1% completion. Not good. But 258 yards, 2 touchdowns, 1 interception. Very solid. I think he had a good rookie debut. I don't think he's going to – it's hard because, like, it wasn't great. There's nothing to freak out about, but it definitely wasn't bad. Corey Davis, though, looked really good throughout this game, considering he was the only consistent receiver for this team. 5 receptions, 97 yards, and 2 touchdowns. I mean, dude's a stud, and he's going to continue being a stud for Zach Wilson. Defense didn't look terrible. Without Carl Lawson, there's, like, no pass rush here. Hamsun Nasirildeen was a guy that I was really looking forward to watching. And he just didn't do much, had 3 assisted tackles and that's it. CJ Mosley was like really bad coverage wise. And then another big thing is LaMarcus Joyner's probably out for the year. So that's a big hit on that secondary. But I mean overall, this game wasn't too exciting. Panthers won 19-14. I projected the Panthers to win 24-10. So, I was right on that, but the score was a lot closer than I expected it to be. Next, what I consider to probably be one of the most exciting games of the season, or of the week, is going to be the Cardinals and Titans game. I projected the Cardinals to win, and people, this was considered an underdog pick, but I projected the Cardinals to win 28-24, then won 38-13. Kyler Murray, incredible. He looked amazing. DeAndre Hopkins looked great. Christian Kirk looked great. Rondell Moore looked great. AJ Green, not as brought up as the rest, but still looked good. Offensive line was good. Chandler Jones, 5 freaking sacks. Isaiah Simmons, I believe, had an interception. Buda Baker had a few really good hits and was overall very solid. I mean, this defense just looked great. Like, they, let's see here. I want to specify the defensive line because the defensive line looked awesome. Derrick Henry, 17 attempts for 58 yards. That's it. That's what he had, which is crazy because, again, this is the guy who rushed over 2,000 last year. Julio barely did anything. A.J. Brown didn't do too much. I can look. Yeah, he had a touchdown, 4 catches for 49 yards and a touchdown. Like, the Cardinals' defense was just incredible. Harold Landry had a really good game. Bud Dupree was not good in his Titans debut. Secondary is pretty bad. Bradley McDougal is on the Titans now. I actually did not know that. And then Kevin Byard had an interception too. But I love Kevin Byard. I think he's very solid at safety. Underrated because he's on the Titans defense. But overall, this Titans defense proved to be really bad. And this Cardinals offense and defense both proved to be good. I consider the Cardinals, I wouldn't say contenders, but pretty solid playoff teams right now, winning 38-13. Next game, we got the Cleveland Browns at the Kansas City Chiefs. This was a solid game, to say the least. And I had projected the Chiefs to win 38-27. They ultimately won 33-29, so closer than I had expected for sure. But still a good game. Nick Chubb and Kareem Hunt both looked really good. In the red zone, Kareem Hunt was used a lot in the receiving game, which, I mean, led him to play pretty well. I don't believe Jedrick Wills played in this game, but other than that, the whole offensive line was intact. Odell didn't play that game, and he won't play the next game either, may I add. So, guys like Jarvis Landry and Donovan Peoples-Jones really stepped up and played well. Rashard Higgins has moved down the depth charts a little bit. He was the number 3 receiver going into it. Now he's the number 5 behind Donovan Peoples-Jones and Anthony Schwartz, who have both passed him. This defense, Myles Garrett playing great. Jadeveon Clowney, solid complimentary piece. Anthony Walker, as much as I like him, he was really bad. He was a guy who was basically late to every play. But the secondary didn't look bad. And now moving on to this Chiefs offense. Tyreek Hill played insane. Mahomes, insane. Kelce, really good. I mean, Tyreek Hill, 11 catches, 197 yards, and a touchdown. Like, what? Jesus, he's insane. Offensive line looked really good, too. So, that's a positive sign. Let's see, what did Kelce's put up? I'm curious as to see what Kelce's stats are. 6 catches, 72 yards, and 2 touchdowns. I did not realize he had 2 touchdowns. But yeah, Kelce, insane as well. As to be expected, but this defense, not as good. Pass rush didn't hit often, but when it did, it was pretty good. You know, I had a couple sacks. This whole defense played well. Although Tyrann Mathieu didn't play due to COVID. There were a couple other guys who didn't play as well. I don't think Frank Clark played, if I'm not mistaken. So, but overall, this whole Chiefs team played well. The Browns played really well also. And it was a very close game, but ultimately the Chiefs barely came out with the win, 33-29. Next, we got the Miami Dolphins at the New England Patriots. Not that great of a game, you know. 17-16 win. I had the Dolphins winning. Let's see here. What I had the Dolphins winning by? 24-22. So I had it being a close game, but higher scoring. They ultimately won 17-16. Tua looked pretty good. Jalen Waddle had a good game. He had a touchdown in his debut. Miles Gaskin didn't look bad. Offensive line didn't look bad. Emmanuel Ogba had a game. He played pretty good with a few tackles, pass defended, and a safety. So, like, he had a good game himself. And I also put a ton of pressure on the QB throughout the whole game. Javon Holland was the highest graded PFF highest graded defensive rookie per PFF with two tackles and a forced fumble. He looked really good. I've been really high on him forever now. I love Javon Holland, if I'm being completely honest. So, very happy to see him succeed, at least right now. Liam Eichenberg played some guard, I noticed. I mean, I know that's nothing too crazy. I'm sure not many people care, but I find that quite interesting. I also find interesting that Mike Gesicki didn't do much. And the fact that Will Fuller is coming back, it scares me even more. So, I don't know where the targets are going to be spread throughout that offense. But now moving on to the Patriots. Defense played solid all across the board. I mean, no one really played bad, in my opinion. But mainly the offense, Mac Jones looked solid. I mean, there was a lot of running plays in the beginning of the game, but as the game moved on, he got more and more opportunities. Went 29 for 39, 281 yards and a touchdown, which 29 for 39 is 74.4% completion, which is solid. Damian Harris had that fumble in the red zone, which basically cost him to lose the game. But other than that, he had 23 attempts for 100 yards. So again, that fumble hurts them. But and then two catches for 17. So he's obviously the workhorse back. I mean, that one fumble kind of screwed them over, which sucks. And they could have easily won that game if that fumble had not occurred. But, you know, what are you going to do? So, overall, not a great game. But, I mean, it really shows where both teams are at. And I don't think neither of them are really that good. But Dolphins are winning the division right now. And the other three teams in that division are 0-1. So, that's really what comes out of this game. Next game, we got the Denver Broncos at the New York Giants. This I thought was going to be a very split, even game. I think these teams are really equal, or at least I thought they were going into it. So I had projected the Giants winning 21-17, Broncos won 27-13. Teddy Bridgewater looked really good. Melvin Gordon looked really good. Jerry Jeudy looked good up until he got injured, high ankle sprain. I believe I was like 3 to 5 weeks or something like that. But yeah, Melvin Gordon really looked good on this in this offense. I believe he had like 100 he had 11 carries, 101 yards, and a touchdown. So he averaged 9.2 yards an attempt, which is really good. Defense looked good too. I don't believe Bradley Chubb played. I don't know if he did, honestly. Cornerback group, very solid. I mean, I don't know if Pat Surtain played, which actually shocked me. I mean, there are no stats for him for this game. So, at least per ESPN, so I don't know if maybe he just didn't do anything in this game. But this whole secondary played well. Justin Simmons, Kyle Fuller, this whole team played solid. But more so, it was the Giants not playing good. Barkley just isn't ready to play from what it looks like. Offensive line's pretty bad. Evan Engram didn't play. I mean, Daniel Jones didn't look good. I mean, this team is just not good. This defense didn't even play as well as I thought they were going to. Danny Shelton, which I say was a really good pickup, he isn't starting. It's Austin Johnson that knows right now. Aziz Ojulari got benched. Or not benched, but he's not starting anymore, which, I thought was one of the best picks in the draft. He isn't starting, and O'Shan Zimenez is starting. So I just don't know where this team's at anymore. A bunch of these guys that I thought were really good pickups aren't even starters anymore. So, I mean, what's what I hate to see, though, for the Giants is that Quincy Roche is on the team. He had got cut by the Steelers. I was really hoping we'd bring him back. But he got claimed before we could put him on the practice squad. So that really hurt. I'm very sad to see that. I loved Quincy Roche. I still do, but this Giants team just wasn't good. So, you know, Broncos winning 27-13 really shows me where the Giants are at as a team. And where the Broncos are at, too. Broncos in a great spot. Giants, not so much. Next game, I'd say, is the most surprising game of the week. And I think everyone will agree with me on that. And that's the Green Bay Packers versus the New Orleans Saints. Packers suck. At least for this game. Packers sucked. They were terrible. Put up 3 points. Rodgers, bad. Davante Adams, bad. Aaron Jones, bad. Like, just wasn't. I'm not even. Rodgers threw for. He went 15 for 28, which is a 53.6% completion percentage. 133 yards, no touchdowns, 2 interceptions. Like, he just played bad. He didn't play in the preseason. He barely played. He didn't do any of the training camp stuff. He ended up getting benched for Jordan Love like right away, which is crazy. Aaron Jones had like 10 yards or something like that. My bad, 9. 5 attempts for 9 yards. And then 2 catches for 13. So, I don't know what happened here. Davante Adams wasn't good either. This defense was bad. Like, this is just a bad team right now. Like, they're just not in a good place. Like, looking at the roster, looks great. But they suck. So I'm not even going to talk about them. We're going to go out to the Vikings. Or the Vikings. Saints. Vikings. We're going to look at the Saints. Marcus Davenport and Cam Jordan were great. Duo off the edge. Demario Davis, great at middle linebacker per usual. Marshawn Lattimore got injured, which sucks. But he also got this major contract, which I believe was like 5 year, $97.6 million. But the guy I want to talk about is Paulson Adebo. I mean, this is a guy who stepped up and now is considered one of the steals of the draft. Considered to be pretty slow coming out of college, which I completely agree with. But I never thought he was bad. I thought this was a great pick. He had 3 tackles, an interception, and a pass defended. So he took that interception back for 33 yards. So he's on pace for a good year. And he's really stepping up, playing the outside opposite of Marshawn Lattimore. While probably, I don't know who we're going to have, or who, not we, who they are going to have in the slot. Once Brian Poole comes off IR, probably him. I don't know if he's out for the year or not, honestly. But, I mean, there's also Bradley Roby, who they traded for, who was suspended for the first week. Now he can play again, so maybe they get him in. But I also want to talk about the offense real quick. I mean, other than the, you know, like, obviously, like, the offensive line played well. Kamara looked good. I want to talk about Jameis Winston. I mean, this is the guy who I was way higher on than everyone else. I also want to mention, though, the stats show two different stories. I mean, the QBR is 92.5, second highest in the league right now, which is pretty cool. He only threw 20 passes. For every 4 passes, he throws 1 touchdown. Considering, again, he threw 5 touchdowns under 150 yards. I had 148 to be specific, 70% completion. Very lopsided. Right there, if I'm being honest. Juwan Johnson at tight end got caught 2 of those touchdowns. I believe Callaway had a touchdown. I believe Deontay Harris had one as well, I'd like to say. Traquan Smith. Oh, no, sorry. Marcus Callaway did not have one. He only had a catch for 14 yards. With Michael Thomas obviously being out, Traquan Smith had been put on IR beforehand. I believe Deontay Harris is the one who had a touchdown then. Yes, he had 2 catches for 72 yards and a touchdown. He had the deep catch as well, which is was really cool to see. Kamara also had a receiving touchdown. And I think it was Lil Jordan Humphrey who had one as well, or Adam Trautman. I cannot remember, but crazy game, very lopsided game. I was wrong on the Saints. The Saints looked really good. I projected this game to be won by the Packers, 32-17. This was a major L, and I'll take that completely. The Saints and Packers both really surprised me, both for opposite reasons. But Packers need to get better. Saints, genuine playoff contenders. I'm not going to say fight for the division, but fight for a high wild card spot for sure. Next, we got Sunday Night Football. Bears at Rams. I had the Rams winning this game 31-13. And this was the closest score prediction I had because the Rams won 34-14. So I was off by a total of 4 points. And I'm very happy with that. I like being able to predict the games very close. I mean, when it comes to predicting scores, there's really not much that goes into it. It's just a genuine guess. So being able to guess pretty close was nice. Looking at the Bears first, offense, decent. I mean, the passing offense was pretty poor. Offensive line looked really good. I mean, compared to what we were expecting. The idea to move White, Cody Whitehair to guard and Mustafa to center was very smart, along with Montgomery playing incredible behind this offensive line, was something I like to see. He looks way more explosive than he ever has. So I can see a major year for Montgomery. He was ranked as my number 10 tight end. Tight end. Running back heading into the season, ranked 10th. And I think he could end up being even higher than that. I'm not going to say top 5, but I'll say like top 8. So I'm very impressed with that. Defensive-wise, not good. Not good at all. Khalil Mack didn't do too much. The whole defensive line didn't do much. Roquan Smith was decent. Jalen Johnson looked good. Safeties, terrible. Eddie Jackson, especially terrible. Deshaun Gibson didn't look bad, honestly, but also didn't look good. He was pretty bad, but like not nearly as bad as Eddie Jackson was. So I don't even like they were just terrible. Rams, on the other hand, incredible. Stafford, I believe it was 300 yards, 3 touchdowns, no interceptions. First quarterback to ever do that in their winning debut with a new team. So, just because, I mean, he is Matt Stafford, he's, don't know if you know this, but he's pretty good. Robert Woods had a great catch in the back of the end zone. Van Jefferson had the one play touchdown. Tyler Higbee looked solid. Offensive line looked good. Aaron Donald did not do that much in this game, which I found shocking. Taylor Rapp was a name you heard quite a bit throughout this game. Ramsey looked really good as well. This Rams team they're legit contenders. I'm just going to say that outright, and I think that's obvious. They are legit contenders, so just going to throw that out there. But now on to the final game, Ravens at Raiders, Monday Night Football. I had the Ravens winning 34-17. Raiders won in overtime 33-27. Now, I was rooting for the Raiders this whole time, considering I am a Steelers fan. I hate the Ravens. Anytime I get to see them lose, I'm happy. So I'm very happy to see that the Raiders beat them, considering I thought the Raiders were going to be a bottom 10 team this year. Derek Carr looked really good. Josh Jacobs looked really good. Darren Waller was incredible. 10 catches, 105 yards, and a touchdown. Offensive line didn't look terrible. Alex Leatherwood almost sold the game, though, on a false start, which brought him back from, like, the half-yard line to, like, the 5, to where Derek Carr then threw an interception. And this was all in overtime. Then they were lucky Lamar fumbled, and then Derek Carr threw a touchdown to Zay Jones. So, KJ Wright, a recent addition, looked really good on this team. Max Crosby looked incredible, having, like, 13 pressures, I think, on the edge, winning offensive AFC Offensive Player of the Week. Another guy I want to touch, or not trying to say another guy, but the secondary looked a lot better than I'd expected it to. Mohrig having 5 tackles, that was a big name I was watching out for this week just to see how well he'd play. But this whole defense looked a lot better than I expected. There's a lot more versatility, and it's more complex defense than I was expecting, which is what I love to see. Ravens, Lamar did not look that good. Passing-wise, good. Running-wise, not nearly as good as I had expected. You know, Marquise Brown had a really good game. Mark Andrews was not used as much as I thought he would have been. Running backs, Latavius Murray and Tyson Williams, definitely a better duo than I had expected. It has also come out recently after this game that they are planning on using every running back now, which also means Devontae Freeman and Le'Veon Bell in the mix. So very interested to see how that this whole group turns out. I'm going to go to the defense real quick, and then I want to go back to someone on offense. Defensive line, Justin Houston specifically looked pretty good. Showed to be a solid pickup. I mean, stats don't show it. He only had two assisted tackles, but he was putting pressure on consistently. And wasn't incredible, but looked good. With Marcus Peters gone, obviously they struggled in the secondary a bit, but Marlon Humphrey played solid. I don't know who had the interception, though. I mean, Marlon Humphrey had 9 tackles and a pass defended, so that was solid. And again, I don't know who had the interception, but in the end zone. And I think that was the only interception that he threw. But overall, defense looked decent. I mean, stopping the Raiders' offense is a lot harder than you think. And it was mainly just they let Waller have a game, and that's an issue. But going back on offense, the player that is going to hold them back, and the reason why they lost, I would personally say, is Alejandro Villanueva. He looked terrible. He was terrible. So many Ravens fans on like Twitter and Instagram and stuff were saying that the Steelers were crazy for letting him walk after, and this was only after the Ravens signed him. And then I go on Twitter the day after, which would have been Tuesday, and I'm seeing, man, Steelers fans, you were right for letting him walk. We were wrong. Yes, he is terrible. Villanueva is terrible. Like, really bad. There's a reason we let him go. I understand he's tall. He's like 6'9". Oh my God, that's so crazy. He sucks. He's bad. So, sorry, Ravens fans. You got a terrible offensive tackle. He won't be on the team, and he's going to get cut soon. But I had projected. Okay. A couple things. One, recap the week. I went 8-8. I picked the Bucks to win, the Seahawks to win, the 49ers to win, the Panthers to win, Cardinals to win, Chiefs to win, Dolphins to win, and Rams to win. Those are my 8 wins. All the other games I had lost. Although in my league where I pick teams each week to win and whoever has the most correct picks wins, I did switch to Steelers and Bills because I'm a Steelers fan. I can't go against my team. So I did have 9 wins there, which is pretty cool. I'm happy I switched that up. Everything else I kept the same. So, that's nice to see. But also, I want to mention, I will be keeping track of the records, my projection picks, like the record I have throughout the year, and see if I can get above 500, or 500 exactly is my goal. So, I will keep that updated as this goes on. I also want to mention that I am going to be, I don't know how many weeks I'm going to do it. I don't know if it's going to be every week or not. Because, again, with my school schedule, football schedule, for the next about month or two or so, you know, it's going to be really hard to continuously upload. So I'm hoping by, like, November, I'd say, I can upload more consistently. But I will be making mock drafts throughout this season. I'm going to be using 2 different orders, like draft orders. One is going to come from the Draft Network, which is where I do all my mock drafts. One of my favorite websites to go to. They always have solid draft orders that make a lot of sense. But I also am going to do one where I make my own. And it's not based off of me specifically, like my opinions. It's based off of record. So the way I did it, at least for the first few weeks, it's going to be, since like obviously half the teams are 0-1 and half the teams are 1-0, all the teams I lost are in the first 16 picks. All the teams I won are in the back 16 picks. If picks from one team belong to a different team, I give them to that team. So, like, for example, the Giants have the Bears pick. So, the Bears in this order end up picking 6th overall. So, the Giants would have that pick. It's not going to go to the Bears because they don't have a first rounder. But the way I based off the draft order was, if you lost, you're in the top 16. And to determine the order from those 16, it's whoever scored the least amount of points go first. So, yes, the Green Bay Packers are picking first. I'm not saying I think that's going to happen because it won't. Because I also, based off of this, had the Texans picking 29th out of 32 because they won and scored 37. So, like, obviously, this isn't my projected draft order. This is solely based off of record and then points scored. So, I just want to point that out. I just think it'd be really interesting to see how the mock drafts change throughout the season and how the draft order changes. So over time, I'm going to be basing it mainly only off record, but just for the first few weeks, just to get a decent order picked out, going off of points is going to make a lot of sense for when there's like, you know, eight, nine, 10 teams with like a 1-1 record, or, you know, the same for like 2-0 and 0-2, you know, so it's going to make making that order a lot easier. But once we get into the middle of the week when it's like, you know, 4 teams are 3-5, you know, a few teams are 7-1, maybe a team or two or 8-0, stuff like that, it's going to be a lot easier to make a draft order. But I also want to point out that the little bit that comes from me specifically is when, like, for example, the Broncos and Bengals, both won, both scored 27 points. I decided that I wanted to put the Broncos or the Bengals over the Broncos just because I think the Broncos had a better performance. So the Broncos picked 21 while the Bengals picked 22. That is solely off of me. That is what I had picked. So I want to point that out. And I also want to point out that only the teams I lost can be in the first 16. So, like, the Lions lost and scored 33. They're picked 16. They're the best out of the losing teams. Yet the Dolphins are picked 17 because they won but only scored 17. But, I mean, that pick goes to the Eagles, but whatever. So I'll be doing that every once in a while. I'll be making those mock drafts. I don't know exactly if I'll be able to post every single one, but we'll be making them just to see how the order goes. So, yeah. Anyway, with that being said, this has been another episode of NFL Talk TJ. My name is TJ, and I'll see you guys in the next episode. Peace out.